You cannot have excellence of any form or safety or focus on patients from a workforce that feels vulnerable, unsafe, psychologically or physically at risk. It won't happen.
Welcome to See You Now Insights. I'm Rebecca McEnroy. What if quality and safety weren't separate goals, but the same promise? In this insight, Don Berwick, pioneer of the modern patient safety movement, explores the deep connection between quality and safety in healthcare. He challenges us to see that harm, waste, and insufficiency all stem from the same source, systems that fail to meet their intended purpose. Through the story of Paul O'Neill and Alcoa's safety transformation, Berwick reveals why workforce safety is inseparable from patient safety and how true excellence begins when every person in the system feels safe, valued, and supported.
Back in 2012, I wrote a paper with a colleague at the RAND Corporation on waste in healthcare. At that time, we worked with six categories of waste. One was safety problems, injuries to patients, but there were others like excess administrative costs and bureaucracy, the waste of drop balls, like, you know, a patient gets handed off between two clinical sites and continuity doesn't exist sufficiently. There's waste and fraud. When we added up all those numbers from the literature, our estimate in our RAND Corporation published paper was about 34% of all the costs could be attributed to those forms of absolutely not helping patients at all. Now, is that safety? In my view, it's all safety. I sometimes provoke my friends from the safety world saying I don't particularly distinguish between what people call quality and what people call safety. The definition of the term quality is meeting the need you intended to meet. If I do something that helps the way I wanted, that's quality. If I do something that doesn't help, that's poor quality, whether you call it an error or waste. But we're up in that level. Many of our friends from industry that Patricia and I have worked with through the many years would make the estimate a lot higher, 50%, 60%. I've even had a colleague at the University of Chicago who observed healthcare and thought that 95% of what we do doesn't help. One of the co-founders of the Lucian Leap Institute was the late Paul O'Neill, who was president of Alcoa and secretary of the Treasury. I think Patricia will agree with me. He was one of the beacons in this field. And he made Alcoa, which is a very risky environment. You're producing metals at high temperatures, for example. It became one of the safest manufacturing companies in the entire world. And he knew it because he measured injuries to workers. And Paul used to say that he would stay in the room as executive for discussions of safety. But when finance came up, he would leave. It was his metaphor for saying, if we have quality, right, if we are doing everything the way we intended, the money will take care of itself. Paul became our teacher. I remember he simply had the firm view that you could not establish excellence in any organization without the workforce feeling absolutely safe. We visited the Alcoa headquarters in Pittsburgh, and I remember walking in. O'Neill's desk was out in the middle. I mean, he did not have a sequestered executive office. He was right with people. And on his desk was a monitor, which was his regular reporting from every Alcoa site about worker injuries. He personally took responsibility for monitoring it. And if something happened, he expected an explanation, prevention, and resolution. And if you didn't do that, you couldn't work there. He had this theory that it was a precondition to excellence, that the workforce feels safe. Now, that's in rolling aluminum sheets. Now, imagine that it's a nurse or a physician. Maureen Bisignano, my successor's IHI CEO, taught me the phrase, you cannot give what you do not have. So if we don't have a workforce that feels secure and cared for and safe, how can they possibly produce that experience for the people they care for? You cannot have excellence of any form or safety or focus on patients from a workforce that feels vulnerable, unsafe, psychologically or physically at risk. It won't happen. I don't think it's just violence. It has become a focus of the workforce safety issue of these issues of violence in care, patients who, for one reason or another, lash out at the healthcare workforce. Let's not be reductionist about it. That does happen and it needs to be prevented. And the workforce needs support, as does the patient. But injuries to the workforce, psychological injuries, stress, are not rare at all. So we pay a serious price if we don't attend to the overall vitality of the workforce at the same time where they're focusing on the needs that they're trying to meet. They come arm in arm. And we have a highly resilient workforce. We know that from videotapes of operations. It was brilliant research done at Great Ormond Street Hospital on cardiac surgery in children, where they videotaped the number of times a safety condition existed was a high multiple of the times that any kid got hurt. That's because the resilience of the staff. They're there saying, wait a minute, hold on, that's not right. And I think we way underestimate the heroism of the healthcare workforce, who are always on guard, trying to stop these broken systems from actually causing harm.
From episode 123, Safer Together, The Architecture of a Movement, that was pioneer of the patient safety movement, president emeritus and senior fellow at the Institute for Healthcare Improvement, and former administrator of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, Dr. Don Berwick. You can listen back to that full episode and find over 100 episodes in our library when you subscribe to See You Now wherever you get podcasts. For See You Now, I'm Rebecca McEnroy. Thanks for listening.